Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
In what seems like some pretty big news, Daryl, there's some sort of nasty things going on out of Washington, D.C. as normal.
Right.
But they are now threatening other countries if they don't hand over information about travelers. Go ahead and give us a source.
Yeah, article comes from Reuters, and they were actually able to obtain the cable, and I'll post the link to the article plus the link to the cable on the Facebooks and the Twitters. The story says the U.S. State Department will require all nations to provide extensive data to help it vet visa applicants and determine whether a traveler poses a terrorist threat, according to a cable obtained by Reuters. Countries that fail to comply with the new protocols or take steps to comply within 50 days could face travel sanctions.
Travel sanctions.
Yeah, they don't specify exactly what that means.
Because sanctions
in the article
can mean
here.
Like we don't let food go into your country.
Sanctions could also mean we are not going to allow any commercial flights to go directly into your country from our country.
Cuba is one of the examples.
No, they've recently rolled that back. Towards the end of the Obama administration, they rolled back. There are now commercial flights into commercial flights into Cuba.
That's good to know.
Now, it's still restricted on who's allowed to fly into Cuba. You still have to, you know, like fit some kind of criteria. You can't just say, yeah, you know, I want to go to Cuba and have lunch in Havana because I've never had lunch in Havana.
I really, you know, did not enjoy the process of coming back into the United States when Mark and I went down to Mexico for an Acapulco. Coming back in was not fun. You know, it was a very lengthy, annoying process with a lot of lines and waiting. And I feel like they didn't catch a retina scan, but they were like getting pretty invasive with what they wanted from people as you came back in. And they would like take your picture at this little booth. So not like a booth that was occluded from view, but they had like these little standing computer things. You had to like check in. You had to scan your itinerary or whatever, the ticket from the airline.
Right.
And then it would literally take your picture at that location.
Wow.
And so, I mean, there's some definite like databasing going on here. There's some, you know, real invasion of any kind. There is no such thing as privacy in this process.
Right.
And I'm surprised they didn't ask for a pinprick of blood and a retina scan while they were at it.
Well, the retina scan will be for the next generation. They're already used to it because they are already implemented it in our schools.
Are they really?
I know that my daughter. And I found this out a whole year after it had already been implemented.
In New Hampshire?
They checked into school. This was Tennessee.
Tennessee. Okay.
They checked into school via a fingerprint scanner.
The U.S. government has demanded that other countries not designate people for travel watch list based solely on political or religious beliefs. Doesn't say that can't be a factor for why they're on the watch list. That just can't be the sole reason they're on the watch list. The cable says this is the first time that the U.S. government is setting standards for the information that is required from all countries, specifically in support of immigration and traveler vetting. Now, let's sort of dissect this a little bit.
Sure.
Because it says in support of immigration and traveler vetting. Those are two completely different things. Immigrants are people that are moving.
They want to stay here.
To somewhere. And travelers are people that are just visiting somewhere.
Right.
But those two things are handled by the same department, right?
The issuance of a visa, whether it's an immigrant visa or a traveler visa, it's handled by the same department. But again, it's not the same thing. So you're saying that everybody that wants to go buy a burger from McDonald's should have to fill out a criminal history report?
The guy who works there, yes. The guy who goes to buy a drink, no.
They're both entering McDonald's.
I think this
is
that's
how the government's going to look at it. They're looking at it as somebody wants to come in. We're going to vet them all the same. I mean, that's the way they're looking at this, right?
That's the way they're looking at it. And I'm saying that they're looking at it completely wrong because
Conan's not defending that.
It sounds like he is.
He's just saying that's what they're doing. They're treating people exactly the same, whether they're going to come here temporarily or whether they're going to stay.
However, John Sandweg, a former senior DHS official who now works with the firm Frontier Solutions, says that some U.S. allies are worried about privacy protections if the Washington government is seen as seeking information beyond what is already shared. He says, quote, "I don't think you can ignore the political aspects of the unpopularity of the current administration that puts political pressure to stand up to the administration." The cable lays out risk factors.
I wonder what they would do. I mean, how would they stand up? Would they just be like, "Welp, sorry, citizens, you can't travel to the United States anymore because we're not willing to jump through their hoops"?
And here's an even bigger question. Would these other countries even have come out in opposition if it had been Obama?
What I wanted to say is that I think that they don't go near far enough. If somebody believes in Sharia law or they believe in, if they're from these countries where they have terrorists and or even countries that have a lot of gang members, I think it should be. And believe me, I'm not for big government. So when Homeland Security came in, I wasn't really for it. But
you're for. Let me just make sure I'm understanding what you're saying so far. You say on one hand you're not in favor of big government, but on the other hand you want to keep anybody out who is a Muslim.
Well. Until I voted for Trump because I'm an American. Okay, I believe in this country. I believe in capitalism. I believe in liberty, less government, less taxes. Okay, that's where I'm at. I'm not a Republican or Democrat. I just believe in the Constitution. I believe in liberty.
So you believe in liberty, except when it comes to the liberty of people who are Muslims who might believe in Sharia law. Do you even know what Sharia law is?
I know that for a fact. That it's kind of a secret that they don't want out.
No.
But a lot of these Muslims, a lot of these Muslims, the men, they beat the women. They don't let them have a driver's license. They don't let them have passports to get out of their country. They beat the women very badly, very badly.
Okay, so
I know some rednecks that wind up abusing people as well.
Right, so because...
So should we ban rednecks from the country?
I think that's a great idea, actually.
You cannot say you support liberty and then in the same breath or the next breath say that you want to see more restrictions.
Well, if you say, "I support liberty, but,"
then you don't
support liberty.
Right.
Because, because
the guy on the other side of the equation, the leftist, what was the guy's name?
I don't remember.
Perry.
The left version of Perry would say that, yeah, we need these freedoms in this department, in this area, but not in this one. So they're both, you know, sitting there constantly fighting over basically the freedoms and which ones should be taken from us and which we should be able to wield.
There was a talk radio host that I used to listen to when I lived in Pennsylvania, and he had a rule, and he would repeat it often, of everything you say before the word "but" gets ignored. And it makes a lot of sense because people like Perry will say, "I believe in freedom, but
Sharia law,
blah, 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 tyranny, tyranny,
Muslims.
Tyranny."
And of course, you have domestic terrorists, and of course, you have Madonna, and then you have the homegrown terrorists, like the Tsarnaev brothers or whoever else, or the guy who bombed the Grande concert. Wasn't he a British?
I don't remember. But either way, there's always going to be something to be afraid of.
Donald Trump wanting to send the feds into Chicago because of the gun violence.
And
all of these people that support the right to bear arms and supposedly believe in small, limited government are supporting sending in the feds
to Chicago to curb
the gun violence, take away the illegal guns in Chicago because there's gun violence.
This is the first I've heard of this. I mean, I don't pay close attention to what comes out of Trump's mouth or the national news generally, but
like something he would have just said at one of his things.
It's not an actual plan.
I don't think there's actually a plan, but there have been statements of send the feds into Chicago.
I wonder what that would mean.
And the small government conservatives are all behind it because
they love men with government guys with guns, as Mark has pointed out.
If it's gun collection of people who they think are the gangbangers and whatnot, then it's all right. It's cool.
Right.
But as long as they don't take my guns. And then, of course, but if this was to happen, then the next year or so, they go into Chicago and they martial law and they start collecting all the guns. Sorry, guy. Sorry, redneck from the South who loves his guns and has the flag and whatnot. They're going to be coming
You're
for
next.
You. You're next.
Yeah.
This was a particularly bad instance because this guy brought in 4 different valuable games. And I kid you not, the labels look like they were printed on a standard desktop printer and put on with sellotape.
What?
So you didn't even have to open these ones up. You just saw right off the bat.
They were junk.
And he casually threw them in with, like, he had a couple of copies of, like, World Clash Track Meet, Super Mario Brothers, and there just so happens to be a Snow Brothers in there, which is, like, a $400 game at this point.
I've never heard of Snow Brothers.
Me neither.
It's this ridiculous game. Basically, you play as, like, a snowman, and you throw a boomerang at
things.
Is
it NES?
Yes, very late era NES, like 1992. But the second I tell him, I look at the box, and I see these, and my blood is boiling. I look at this guy and I ask him why the heck he brought those in when the labels were clearly messed up, because I just wanted to see what his story was. And you know what he said?
Flea market.
My girlfriend gave these to me. These were her games. She had bought these for me, and because I'm a collector, and I'm thinking to myself, if you're a collector,
then you wouldn't know.
Yeah, then you wouldn't be bringing them in here.
Right. If he was a collector, he would have been, you know, he would have told his girlfriend, hey, you got scammed because this is junk. Do you tell him, take a hike, bud? Or do you say, all right, we'll take the legit games and give you, you know, whatever credit that we'll give you?
At this point, I went into the back and asked the manager what to do because, you know, there were some other games in there that looked legit, which could probably bring in a bunch. Like Contra isn't rare, but it's really popular.
It's a good one. Yeah. Classic.
And he came out. I expected him to tell him nicely to get out. He starts screaming at the guy, take your crap out of my store. And if you ever come in here again, we are calling the police.
Damn.
Do you guys make any purchases online? Do you like buy like bulk packages of, you know, games? Do you even play around with that? Because I've done it before and it's never really worked out for me.
On eBay, what we'll do is we'll sometimes contact the sellers and ask if they'll take a compromise on the deal maybe and buy multiple items of theirs that they have listed. But typically we don't. Because we have a couple of people who are regular resellers that will come in. They'll find stuff at a flea market, bring it in, we'll buy it off of them.
So you've already got enough to deal with.
Plenty.
Pretty much. There's a group of like 4 or 5 people that come in like every couple of days with a bunch of stuff. And it's not just like, it's not just games we carry. We take like old action figures and such, but it's mostly retro video games.
Can you believe that last Friday, Albuquerque Mayor Barry invited autonomous self-driving car companies to test their techniques in Albuquerque? You know, I mean, I'm quite surprised that we got an early start in the self-driving cars. I thought, you know, Albuquerque would be the very last one to do it. We're always the last one to do anything really innovative. So it's amazing.
So you're amazed that the mayor has invited the companies to test in Albuquerque. Have they said they will test, or he just sent out a notice, you know, or an invitation?
Well, I have this letter. He was encouraging all city politicians to encourage self-driving cars. So I guess it means that I'm going to see self-driving cars being driven around here pretty soon. He invited them.
How do you feel about the fact that these cars might not be good to go just yet, and they're working the bugs out, so they might be more dangerous?
You could be one of the bugs, Sarah.
You could be the next bug.
Sometimes you're the bug, sometimes you're the windshield.
You might get hit by 2 driverless cars.
Albuquerque Journal says that Mayor Barry sent a strong message to companies developing and testing driverless technology. He issued an executive instruction directing the Department of Municipal Development, the city's legal department, and all other agencies of the city to promote self-driving vehicles in Albuquerque. He told the Albuquerque Journal, "It is in the city's interest to support the development and advancement of this technology. It makes sense from an economic development standpoint, from a public safety standpoint, and from a job creation standpoint. It can provide new research opportunities to our universities, and it sends a strong signal that we are a forward-thinking community."
So it's just fluff.
But it doesn't say necessarily if he's going to use taxpayer dollars to pay these companies to come into Albuquerque, if there's going to be some kind of tax credit, or if he's just saying, "Hey, guys,
we've got roads.
We've got roads and a lot of sunshine. Come over here."
Isn't the last three gyms you went to, didn't they all close down kind of the same way? You just went in one day and there was a cardboard note on the window saying, "Sorry, we closed."
But that happens. That's like a thing that happens with gyms. It happened to my mom back in the 80s.
It's not just gyms. There was a restaurant here in Keene that called their employees at 2 o'clock on like a Tuesday and said, "Yeah, I know you're supposed to be here at 4 o'clock. Don't bother coming in for your shift. We're closing temporarily for renovations."
Why do they always say that? I mean, I remember back when I was a kid, one of my favorite restaurants closed down, and they had that sign up, "Closed for renovations." And those bastards never reopened. And, like, every time I ever see "closed for renovations," the place never reopens. There's a gas station here in Keene on West Street, the old Sunoco station.
They don't
station.
Even have gas pumps there anymore.
No, but they had the sign up when they shut down, like, what, 3 years ago or 2 years ago now, that said "closed for renovations." Yep. They took the gas pumps out, and now there's, like, graffiti up. So, yeah. Obviously, you know, nobody's really renovating anything there.
Right.
Why do they do that?
I don't know.
They're not fooling anybody.
There was the place where we used to have social Sundays here in Keene, where a new owner bought the place, and this was slimy. This was very slimy. So the new owner buys the place, tells all of the staff, "We're going to close for like 3 weeks to renovate inside, and then we're going to reopen."
They did close and
they
renovate.
They renovated, and then, 2 years later, reopened the place as a bookstore.
Was it 2 years?
It was a long time.
I don't feel like it was that long.
It was a long time.
They did have it closed for a while, but yeah.
It was at least a year and a half.
Well, Alpha Bay is not closing for renovations in this case. They are shut down by law enforcement, and law enforcement, they didn't even put up their bragging page this time. Because a lot of times when law enforcement will shutter a darknet marketplace or darknet website, they'll put up their page with all their logos, their gang symbols, and you know they brag that this site was seized by a consortium of law enforcement agencies from all these countries, Interpol, you know, FBI, whatever. In this case, they just Alpha Bay disappeared. I think it was last week or something like that.
Yep.
They apparently they went dark on July 4th, and many users understandably expected what's called an exit scam. These services, these darknet services like Tor, the Onion Router as it's called, or I2P. I don't know if they've taken down any of the I2P based sites, because I know Silk Road went up on I2P at one point. And or not the old Silk Road, but one of the newer Silk Roads. I think it might have been Silk Road 3, but I don't recall.
And I2P is
the competitor
one of
the, to Tor,
lesser used competitors.
Correct. I mean, there's really only one major used one, as I understand it, and that's Tor. So everything else is pretty lesser used in comparison, which is why it was interesting to see a darknet market pop up on I2P in the first place. So Alpha Bay's been taken down, and it wasn't an exit scam, meaning that it wasn't somebody who was running the site for the purpose of scamming the users. I mean, maybe that was his eventual purpose, but you know, if you're going to go for 2 solid years without doing an exit scam, you're probably not an exit scammer.
Right.
The exit scammers are people who develop a useful site. You know, by all you know, it seems to be working. The people are able to buy and sell the drugs or whatever it is they're looking for. And so it gets good reviews and like people have good experiences with it and they put their Bitcoin into it and then they hold Bitcoin in the wallets there and the site just accumulates a whole bunch of Bitcoin. And then when the administrators decide they're ready to cut and run, they cut the power and or cut the internet connection or whatever. And then they, you know, unload all those Bitcoins. And in some cases, it's millions of dollars worth of Bitcoins. And then, of course, because they're anonymous, because all of the whole point of these websites is to maintain anonymity from both buyer, seller, and administrator. Because nobody knows who the administrators are. They've got names like Dread Pirate Roberts or whatever. You have no idea who those people are.
Well, I've been having a lot of trouble here lately. I want to give y'all an update.
Tell me about it. What's going on?
Well, I think it's them Jews. And,
what?
I've been listening to y'all. Scott, that guy that calls in, Scott.
Yeah, you don't want to listen to that guy. I mean, just because he calls in doesn't mean that he's, you know, telling the truth. He's a bigot. You know what that is, right, Jimmy?
Yeah, well, he had me worried. I thought maybe it was them Jews that shut down my business.
What business? What's your business?
I had a psychic business. Y'all got any psychics up there?
I don't know. Conan might be into that. Conan, are you into psychics?
I am not into psychics.
No? Okay.
We do have one on the downtown Keene who...
Really? Yeah, right next to where we get all of our mail.
That's a psychic?
There's a psychic that they'll have in there a couple times, like every couple of months.
It's not that Stop Free Keene
psychic. Why would you think I was into psychics?
I don't know, man. You're into
weird
conspiracies
stuff.
And stuff
How
like that.
How is that a conspiracy?
I didn't say it was a conspiracy. It's just, you
that's
know, it's
idiocy.
It's a conspiracy to keep you from knowing the future.
It's idiocy.
Wait, well, now isn't it possible that Jimmy could be a psychic and like he could know?
Obviously
stuff?
Not, because his business failed. Did you see that coming, Jimmy?
What?
Did you see your business failing?
No. Well, Conan, come on now. I've just got a different type of psychic ability than most people.
Like what? Like what kind?
Well, this is why they shut me down. I'd opened up a business called the Psychic Warehouse, and everything was going great. But the way I do psychic readings is a little bit different. I read the veins of your penis. And I could tell your future.
Did you end up with a policeman, you know, in his boxers in your office? Or, like, how did that go down?
Yeah, well, he identified himself as a policeman, but he wanted me to continue with the psychic reading.
Really?
Yeah.
How did that make you feel?
Well, I was a little bit nervous, you know, because I didn't know what he was there for.
Performance anxiety.
Yeah.
Did he pay when you were done?
Yeah, he ended up paying me. And then you put handcuffs on me. It was a mess.
Oh, that's too bad. So have you been charged criminally with something?
Oh, well, yeah. But, you know, it's they're threatening to put me in jail for prostitution.
What? Prostitution?
Yeah.
Now, that is not... That? Yeah, I would say you've got a case. I mean, if you really were giving vein readings, then, you know, that doesn't sound like prostitution to me. Normally... In order to get somebody for prostitution, there has to be a contract negotiation. There has to be a meeting of the minds on a price for a particular sexual-related service. According to the Wall Street Journal, on Wednesday, he was found hanged in his prison cell at the Narcotics Suppression Bureau in Bangkok, Thailand. The death of the alleged Alphabay operator was confirmed by a spokesbureaucrat for Canada's Foreign Affairs Department on Thursday. However, she declined to comment further on the case due to privacy reasons. According to the Bangkok Post, the body of Mr. Kazes was found by a duty officer who noticed a towel hanging from the toilet door in his cell. When the officer entered the cell where the suspect was held alone, he found Kazes dead. Authorities believe the suspect used the towel to hang himself. You buy that one, Conan?
I don't know. I don't know enough about this story. I know it wouldn't be the first time someone was found in the back of the cruiser or in the, you know, in the waiting cell to be convicted, beat up.
I wouldn't imagine
bruises on their necks or you know hole in a crack in the side of their head. You know, these things happen.
Yeah, I mean, certainly the Thailand goons, the cops there, could very well have extinguished this guy. But on the other hand, he may realize he's going to spend the rest of his life in prison, and
have been executed, because the Thai police and the Thai justice system is not easy on, you know,
on
drug dealers.
Right.
So, you know, he probably realized he was going to die soon anyway. Mentioning Ross Ulbricht, he was recently moved out of Manhattan. The family was not notified.
Really?
Until a couple of days later, he's now in Colorado.
At a Supermax or something like that? Where they put them, do you know?
I'm on the Free Ross website where they have finally been able to update the mailing address.
Right.
USP Florence High.
Well, we knew something like that was coming. Somebody had said that they were likely going to move him because now that he's been finally, like, he's gone through his first level of appeal.
Well, he's still got, you know, another appeal or two that he can do.
And supposedly they are going to do another appeal.
Right,
so.
But the fact that they've moved him...
But he's been sentenced, so he can be moved around.
Completely across... Well, he was sentenced before the first appeal.
That's true.
But the fact that they've moved him completely across the country from Manhattan to Colorado...
Right.
Means that...
Means mom's got to move to Colorado
now.
Yeah,
mom's going to have to wind up moving, and it's not going to really be easy to correspond with lawyers in Manhattan that are filing things
in
Manhattan.
What was the last update on Blake on the Pacer?
Well, that's what's weird, Conan. So I'm on Pacer. I've got the docket here from Blake Benthal's case, which opened back in 2014. And then in 2015, so now more than 2 years ago, in March of 2015, there was an affirmation in support of the government requesting a 30-day continuance until the 22nd of April 2015. There's no further entries since that time.
You got a deal.
If you buy something from, you know, Johnny down the street and he says this is, you know, 100% pure fill in the blank, and you get it tested and it's 90%, and you go tell Johnny, hey, your stuff's only 90%, why'd you say it's 100? He's going to not wind up saying, oh, sorry, I was wrong. If you're lucky, he only punches you in the face.
Or you do find a good Johnny on the street who actually sells legit stuff. And he gets taken down 2 weeks later, and then you've got to go find another guy.
Which is hard to do.
Not only that, but, you know, it's the whole thing of, you know, you can actually give reviews honestly without having to worry about your personal safety.
That's a great point. Yeah, so there's a lot of different things that the darknet marketplace is.
Because let's just say instead of you going to Johnny and saying, hey, Johnny, this stuff was bunk, you tell all of your friends, and then it comes back to Johnny, hey, I've heard you've been S-talking me.
Right. Yeah, that's bad.
You've been ruining my reputation, Conan.
I don't know of any other sites that exited honorably, right? Like, there were people who were either busted and they had to close, or they, you know, were stealing money from people, except for Agro Marketplace. Anyway, some of the users on the r/darknetmarket subreddit on Reddit blamed the vulnerabilities of Alphabay for the shutdown of the website. One independent researcher, Guern, wrote, quote, an AB vulnerability leading to an IP leak or other de-anonymization issue would not be a surprise. How many bugs were there over the years reported here in this subreddit? Seemed like private messages were leaked every couple of months, and for every bug you see, there's a dozen you don't. I started being surprised a long time ago that AB was still around, and AB means Alphabay, was still around outliving so many apparently better run darknet markets, having neither exit scammed nor been hacked nor been raided. Perhaps its time was simply up.
I was looking the other night, and all you guys really want to do was bash police forces. I don't understand it.
Well, first of all, that's not all we want to do. We are frequently critical when the police do the wrong thing. But if the police get it right, then I will, you know, be the first to praise them for getting it right. I've actually helped the police conduct real criminal investigations here in Keene, New Hampshire, when they were actually looking for real criminals who hurt real people. But when the police are going after victimless criminals, like, let's say, someone who programs a website, like we're just talking about now, the Silk Road, then I've got a real problem with them doing that. So I don't, why does my background
they
even
do,
matter?
Or even something they do a lot more often where down near the college on Thursday, Friday, Saturday nights, as college girls are walking from one dorm to another, they'll
and
wave
boys.
Them over. As soon as they step onto the sidewalk, they give them a citation for open container
That's
in
right.
public. It's not an open container in public when they're in the grass, but as
right.
soon as they step
yep.
on the sidewalk, open container
now
in public.
It's a crime. So, yeah, when they harass innocent, peaceful people like that for non-crimes or victimless crimes, that's when I got a problem with that. And I don't see what my background has anything to do with me having an opinion
well,
about
I'm
that.
Well, I was just asking because, I mean, I listen to you guys. I have for about a month now, and it just seems like there's a lot of talk going on with not a lot of knowledge.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.